Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. November 1st is All Saints' Day. In the Beatitudes, Jesus gives us 9 descriptions of the saints on earth. They are those who are poor in spirit, who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, the ones who are slandered for Christ. In short, a saint is one who lives by faith in a world of sin. And these are descriptions of what that looks like. Attached to these 9 descriptions are also promises. Saints are promised a future glory and a future peace and a future heaven. Jesus says of the saints, they have a claim to the kingdom of heaven. He says they will be comforted. They are the ones who will inherit the earth. They are those who will be satisfied. They are those who shall receive mercy. They are those who shall see God and who shall be called sons of God. Those whose reward is great in heaven. These promises aren't meant for everybody. The promise of heaven is only for the saints, those who are baptized and believe. And the dead saints, the faithful departed, have attained all of these promises, all except one. They have inherited heaven, but they haven't yet inherited the earth. That is the happy day that the Lord Jesus will return, raise all the dead, and bring his glorious kingdom to earth. Living saints live in the kingdom of God now by grace through faith. But we are strangers in a strange land. This doesn't mean that we can't be happy here. In fact, one way to translate the blessed of the Beatitudes is happy. But it does mean that our happiness does not come from here and is not focused on here. Our happiness is a state of mind where one is readily aware of the truth, not just of things visible, but also of things invisible, things to come. For the saint, the promise of heaven is essential to his life on earth. We deserve hell, but Jesus Christ paid for our sin and promises us heaven. An undeserved heaven is one of these invisible things that the saint is ever mindful of, and it makes him or her meek. It makes him poor, and it makes him hated and persecuted in the world. Because the world and its ways have no control over the person whose sights are set to a brighter horizon than it offers. There is a teaching that has found its way into the church that ignores or else denies the reality of heaven's opposite, the reality of hell, a place of eternal torment that awaits those who die without faith, those who are not saints and who die. Such a place does not seem to comport, they think, with the unconditional love of God. And since God's love is a primary teaching, it means the teaching of hell has to go. But if they were really serious about what they say, they would take it to its logical conclusion. Here are the premises. Think about it. If life in heaven is truly better than life on earth, and if everyone goes to heaven when they die, no one to hell, then why not, in Christian love, hasten the death of everyone you see, including yourself? But God commands us not to kill. That's no answer for them. They decided that God's love is a primary teaching and that all other teachings must be changed to align with love. And love, of course, has to be helping others end the suffering and inadequacies that are part of their life. So why not send people to heaven as quickly as possible, if everybody's going there upon death anyway? Surely that's what their loving God is calling them to do. And even if God doesn't want the killing, makes no difference, because killers go to heaven anyway. Remember, in this view, God's love, that of course means a love that's reasonable to us, that we can understand fully and thoroughly. God's love in this view is primary. It touches all other teachings and rules over them. Love means no hell. And this sort of teaching of the gospel has really taken off in the church. And I don't think it's any coincidence that suicide rates in society as a whole have skyrocketed in the last several decades. I don't think it's a coincidence that that's why physician-assisted suicides or mercy killings are now legal and praised. Because in death, everyone goes to heaven. Or at least no one goes to hell. So when this life fails to make us happy, time to cash in our chips. This false teaching that everyone is going to heaven when they die is called universalism. But the universalist can't really believe his premises, or else he would bid everyone drink the Kool-Aid. Either, one, he doesn't fully believe heaven is better than earth, which means he's not a saint but a lover of this world, or two, he doesn't actually believe that everyone goes to heaven when they die. He avoids the teaching of hell to make God appear more loving or more reasonably loving. He pretends everyone's going to heaven to improve upon the inadequate gospel given in Scripture. He preaches universalism, not because it's true, but because it makes him and his hearers feel better, at least for the moment. He eats the forbidden fruit. He tells a lie in the name of love, because the lie is pleasing to the eyes, desirable to consume, and able to make him wise. But he's a fool. And there's always a price for sacrificing truth to practical ends. Really, really, he wants a God of sunshine, but not a God of thunder. So it takes a lie to remake God in his own image. He wants a God without thunder, and here's what that means. He wants a God that's not mysterious or beyond our ways or inscrutable. He wants a God that's reasonable. He wants a God that lets you find your happiness on earth. The promise of a heaven is only to comfort the suffering and the dying. And he maintains that God's love is incompatible with hell. Therefore, everyone's going to heaven, regardless of what they do or believe on earth. That's a God without thunder. But that's not the God of the Bible. Our God is not so tame. He's good, but he has thunder. He's the very same God that frightened the people on Sinai and made them fear punishment. Jesus Christ came and died for the sin of the world so that all who would believe on him would have forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. He alone appeases God's wrath and his thunder. But God did not change. He's still a God of wrath and thunder, of mysteries awful and wonderful. He still allows suffering and sin in this world. He allows the saints to be persecuted and to be poor. And he still threatens hell for those who do not seek sanctuary in his only begotten Son. Those who do seek their reward in heaven, they are the saints, meek, poor, slandered, merciful, and peacemakers. You, through your baptism and through your faith in Christ, are a saint. And though you don't seek death or pray for it, when your time does come, on your deathbed, you have reason to be happy. Like the child trying to fall asleep Christmas Eve because he knows gifts await him in the morning when he wakes, we trust that God will take us when he's ready. And that's not a threat. That's a promise. This life has many great blessings, more than we deserve. And to live here and now is Christ's will. But we need not fear death. Saints need not fear death when God decides to take us. For the joys of heaven will bring satisfaction, will bring comfort, and will bring an eternal peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.